Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Our Lord Jesus told a parable about a sower that went out to sow a seed. And in verse 10, the disciples came to him and they asked our Lord a question. Please put up verse 10 if you have it. Matthew chapter 13. It says, And the disciples came and they said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, please, I want you to stay with me. A parable is like a story. A parable is like a coded information. It's like when you want to, it's like a puzzle. So you are trying to, like in those days when, for those of us who have parents who are very aged, who grew up in the farms, sometimes when they want to say something to you, they'll give you a proverb. Huh? They'll give you a proverb. That proverb, it is when you understand it, you will know what they are saying. If you don't understand it, they've still spoken, but you are lost. So a parable is something like that. Okay? But the disciples made an observation that every time Jesus was speaking to people beyond them, he was always using parables. And the assumption is that if your desire, if your goal is to make people understand, then you should be very simple and clear. Are we together? Aha. So there is a sense of rightness to that. Except that when it comes to the subject of parable, what God is actually trying to do is to sift. Please, I want you to note this if you are writing. When God begins to speak to us in parables, it's because he's trying to sift between the goat and the sheep. And many of us, when we began to hear God in parables, it was because God wanted to train us, to tune our ears. Huh? Some of you growing up at home, you have visitors, and then you now sit in the parlor with them as a young child. Then your mom will just look at you from afar. She'll just be staring at you. She's not saying anything. You know? They just notice that you have vanished. You are not in the parlor again. Because you have been trained that this eye that is staring at you is a sign language. It means, son of man, arise and leave this place. But somebody else may say, but God did not speak. But God gave you a sign. The same way your mother gave you a sign. They just say, where is Rolake? She has vanished. Because here, elders are seated, so we don't want children. So please, I want you to understand that when God begins to speak to you in parables, it's either because he's trying to separate you from the sheep, from the goat, or he's trying to train your ears. He's trying to train your ears for deep things, for deeper things. Okay, so this is the first thing I want to bring out. Now, look at verse 11. I want to look at the response of Jesus in verse 11. He said, I speak to them because it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So this is the answer to that question. Why do you always speak to them in a language or in a tone that they are unable to perceive or to discern what you are saying? And Jesus said, I do that because it is not yet given to them to know the mysteries. And that is where the title of our study is coming from. So Jesus, our Lord, said, every time I want to separate my children from visitors, those who just come. You know, these people came for his program. So they are like many people who come to church today. But you may sit in five services, and at the end of the day, just not in the last 5 years, you can't even say this is what you have benefited. You can't say it because you are an outsider. Those who don't understand parables are outsiders because they have not been trained in the language of the family. There's a way your mom speaks to you. You know that what she's saying is, get out of this place now. There's a way, you know, I always talk about this story about how my friend, you know, Taiwo, had a friend of his, of the father that came to the house. And the father's friend said to him, ah, Taiwo, let me sit down with you. Taiwo too now shifted. You know, for Yoruba people, you understand the implication. He moved the bench. He moved to the other side of the bench so that the elderly man could sit beside him. Only for the man to throw him a slap from behind. You know, in those days, when your father's friend disciplines you, it is as if it is your father. It's not like today where somebody was, did I ask you to touch my son? Okay, he's running fever. Let's go to the hospital. He wasn't sick before you touched him. So now the world has changed. But that day, the man taught him a very important lesson. He said, when an elder says, kindly adjust, let me sit beside you, what he is telling you is, get out of here. Elders want to sit here. You know? So Jesus was saying that the reason why I speak to them in parables is because I don't want them to understand. And that's very interesting. That's very interesting that Jesus will preach for hours and he knows the real recipient of his message are the disciples, not the entire congregation. So please ask your neighbor, are you a disciple or are you just visiting? The answer to this question, the real answer to this question, is what will determine the next thing I want to say. Now, there are three layers of development God expects from us as Christians. When a person comes to Christ, there are three things God wants to achieve with that person. The first thing is that God wants that person to be a disciple. God wants that person to be a disciple, not just a churchgoer. Let me give you a good example. If you've, and I'm not saying this is the standard, but have you ever seen, when you see a Deeper Life member, can you tell from afar? Okay, have you ever seen a Deeper Life member that has left the church? Yes. Do they still look different?
No.
You see, somehow when they talk, you still see that sign that this person, sir, are you in Deeper Life? I say, yes, say, okay. It's called discipleship. Our Lord Jesus said, if a servant is great, he will be like his master. That's what our Lord said. If a servant has become very great in his master's sight, the peak of that experience is that what? It will be like Jesus. So the first transaction God wants to achieve with you as a believer is that he wants you to be a what? A what? A disciple. The second level of transaction or development God wants to see in your life is for you to become a king and a priest. So this is another matter entirely. And finally, what God wants to achieve in your life is for you to have dominion. To have dominion. So we'll come back to this some other time. So now that we have established that Jesus, our Lord, said, this is the reason why he's hiding things. So I want you to be looking around now and be thinking in your mind, conversations you have had. Some of you know some of your family members, your friends, they are always in church. Huh? But they don't really look like Christians in their conduct. Yes or yes?
Yes?
The only time they are Christians or remind you of what it means to be a Christian is when they have the Bible in their hands and they are on their way to church. So what has happened to those people is that they came like these other folks, but the word of God did not enter into their heart. So the moment your heart is not conducive for the word of God, then you will be treated as a stranger. What we will hear, what we will be listening to in clear language will be a parable to you. You know, the only reason why it's a parable is because we don't understand it. If we really understand it, it will not be strange to us. Look at what our Lord said in verse 12. He said, for whosoever has, stick along the same line. He said, for whosoever has, what has what? Look at this. What is it referring to here? Who has an idea? Whoever has, to him more will be given. What is he talking about? No. What is he talking about, please? Look at the 12th. Look at the preceding verse in verse 11. The mysteries of the kingdom. Whosoever has the mysteries of the kingdom, to him more of those mysteries will be what? Will be given. That means when you claim to be a spiritual man, how we know it's in the kind of mysteries you have access to. It's not by noise. It's not by squinting your eye as if you're always praying. If a man is really a man of the spirit, a spiritual man, according to our Lord Jesus, there will be a constant flow of unlocking of mysteries. God will be revealing some things to him that will just be completely different from where you are operating. You may be operating at. So you can track your own progress by the level of revelation God himself is bringing to you. And please, if the only thing or revelation God brings to you is about yourself, you are still very far. You are learning. Because when you move into the level of kings and priests, you begin to have jurisdiction over territories, over the lives of men. God will tell you, these 50 people, they are your project. Be praying for them. You'll be assigned a territory. God will tell you, my daughter, I'm giving you the nation of Mali. Intercede for revival there. You may be working at the bank. Oh. You may be working as a teacher. You may be working in, maybe as an IT specialist. But your assignment in the kingdom is what? The nation of what? Of Mali. Because that place has been assigned to you. You are now a king. You have jurisdiction over what? Territories. So our Lord said in verse 12, whosoever has the mysteries of the kingdom, more will be given in abundance. But whosoever does not have, whosoever does not have, verse 12, even the little that he has will be what? Will be taken away from him. That means you can lose spiritual levels. You can lose spiritual levels. You can lose spiritual levels you've acquired over time. You can lose spiritual depth. This one is not in the category of the gift of God. The gift and calling of God are not without rip. So people, this is not part of those ones. So. Please, are you with me? Some of you, okay. How many of you know that two people may be praying in tongues, but they are not praying at the same level? That even tongues has depth. Okay. How many of you have prayed in tongues and you knew the prayer that it was not? You just knew you were praying, Sha. But that prayer, even you cannot beat your chest that God heard. Even though they told you in church that when a man prays in the spirit, he speaks directly to who? To God. But you know that Kamakparo, Kamajali, let's not lie and let's not steal. This prayer. How many of you have ever prayed in spirit for a while and you didn't feel anything? Then you now left the prayer, went to some other location, and it's as if, bam, you started seeing the anointing, as if it was following you. Eh? But when you were praying, it was as though nothing was happening. Which means that spiritual activities are in levels. Yes, you must understand it. Yes, Spiritual activities, when we stand before God and pray for 30 minutes, depending on the access you have to mysteries, you will get different things out of it. They say, well, I would have explained it, but I don't know if I have time to explain. If you go into the financial markets and you're going with $1 million, somebody goes in with $1,000, and you are both buying, and let's say, an instrument like gold. Everybody knows that gold always appreciates, right? Uh-huh. Now, by the time you want to resell, are you going to have the same profit? Are you going to make the same profit? Because what you invested was different. Now, one other thing you should know is that if your spiritual depth is low, or you think that you are not at the level you should be in, then what you need to do is to continue digging the ground. Don't just say, oh, my level is... No, those people you admire, they kept on doing something. They kept on doing something. Don't just say, I prayed. Not, no. You see, one of the reasons why many of us don't get much out of spiritual activity is that the reason why we even came to pray was even faulty. The first function of prayer is to seek God for fellowship, not for making requests. When Adam was in the garden, he only had fellowship with God. Huh? He talks, God answers, God teaches him. Huh? That was their service every day, every evening. And he didn't lack anything. Do you know there are people that the only time they can pray for 2 hours, 3 hours is if they have a problem? Now, you may get the answer to your prayer, but your spiritual depth is still low. It's just like coming into the market with $1,000. Somebody comes into the same market with what? $1 million. The $1 million can crash your price and move you out of the market. So Jesus is talking about what? Having continuous access to mysteries. And what are mysteries? They are divine puzzles. They are divine puzzles that God may be showing you something, and everybody's looking at that, there's nothing here, but you are seeing something. The same way Jesus spent hours, a sower went out to sow, he sowed by the wayside. I know that everybody heard it and said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that was a good message, oh, that man is anointed. And some other people came back to say, sir, you gave us a parable, but you didn't explain. So most of the people there did not even realize Jesus did not explain that parable. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? So when you say you are walking with God, you must come with your questions. You must come with, you must have a level of understanding. Okay, I didn't get it up to this point. This, I can imagine there must have been over 1,000 people in that meeting. Only 12 came back to say, sir, you did not explain. Why? So sometimes God can be like that so as to sift the wheat from the chaff. In verse 13, the scripture says, therefore I speak to them in parables, so that in seeing they will not see, and in hearing they will not hear, nor will they understand. And please, at the root of this particular verse and this statement that Jesus made is what this is what happens to those who have a rebellious and critical heart. For Christians and churchgoers all alike, when a person is, you know, most of these people who came to this meeting, they didn't really believe Jesus was the Son of God. They just came because he was a miracle worker, which is why performing of miracles and prophesying and saying, can I prophesy, is not the mark of an authentic prophet. Because even false prophets can do it. We have a generation that has lost God, and they are going online shouting, let's protect the body of Christ. Sir, if you are a false prophet, you are a false prophet. We cannot protect you. You are not part of us. And you know those guys are the loudest. Oh my God. Some of you are not online. If you see what they do, even the brother speaking to you now cannot claim to be a prophet. Because what those guys are doing, there was a particular brother in Akure. He was the assistant pastor of a man of God. And then he came to the pastor and said, look, this church is not growing because we don't have prophetic gift. And the pastor said, our job is to take people to heaven. Let's teach them the word of God. He said, pastor, share as we are just here, 20, 25, 15. If rain fall, 10. Is that how we are going to continue? The brother went somewhere else and they gave him water to wash his face. A demonic water in the caravan. He washed his face. If he sees you, your name is Tina. Then the pastor called him and said, come, brother Marcus, I know you before. You don't have this thing, this gift. Where did you... The brother got angry, left. He went to start gathering people on the mountain. So it was the pastor that was telling me how the brother left. Because according to them, it is the end that justifies the means. We are helping people. We are helpers of God. So I am a prophet and I am telling you, most people who say they are prophets today are false. Because the primary work of a New Testament prophet is to form Christ in you. First of all, a prophet is a preacher of righteousness. Not just to call names. It's a preacher of righteousness. Not to tell you your phone number. If you are lucky, you will hear your number. But if you are not lucky, be righteous. And give your life to Christ. Moses was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Elijah was a preacher of righteousness. That is why God said, if that for those of you who say you do not have, even the little you have, when we find that you are an unworthy servant, we will take it away. You are using up space. And when God meets those kind of people, he will begin to speak to them in parables. They will just say, that thing the pastor is saying, I don't understand. You should be crying. Because I'm speaking in simple English. If you don't understand it like this, the only thing that is left is for us to go to reception. Reception one. And then we'll start teaching you A, B, C, D. But this is what people want to. They are not really interested in the word of God. They just want a miracle worker. But Jesus even sent many miracle workers to hell. When they came, they said, on that day, we worked miracles. Jesus said, I don't know you. Jesus will not recognize you because you work miracles. He only recognizes you because you have a relationship with him. And the anointing does not approve you. It approves God. So please, I want you to pay attention very carefully so that your soul will not be missing in the noise that is everywhere today. Most prophets that you have today are false prophets. And what they did to get that power, you can't do it. But they will be exposed though. You see 2025, go and write that year down. 2025. You just buy popcorn and sit down. You have enough things to see. Now, in verse 18, Jesus wanted to give them the parable of that sower, of the sower. Now, please permit me to tell you from this verse that there are certain things God will not tell you if you don't ask. Whether it's about your life, whether it's about your marriage. Hey. There are people today, when I see them online, I used to know them as students, so when we were on campus, and I knew that their lives would not be alright. I already knew since then. Eh? But they didn't look it. Some of them are still going online, saying, I'm God's special kid. I'm favored. I'm a favored child of God. It's not by posting it on WhatsApp that we are going to know. Eh? There's a particular sister who told me, say my mom is a flirt. That my mom is a flirt. My dad cannot do anything about it. Then my own sister, elder sibling, is also in the same business. Though she comes to my church once in a while, though, that time. Then she likes me. Now, without praying, now, do you need prophecy for this one? Without praying, something that is in the mother, first daughter, second daughter. I didn't pray. I just know that this thing cannot work. And today I see her online, but she's alone. It's better for you to go and ask God, why is my life like this? Instead of you to be gambling. These guys asked Jesus, what is the meaning of this parable? And look at verse 18. Jesus said, give me verse 18, you need to move fast. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. So now he's about to start explaining. Verse 19. Our Lord says, if now this is a church, oh, this is what happens to people in church, including those who say they are online. When anyone, come on, say anyone. Now, this anyone includes a pastor, includes the person now with a plate of eba in front of him, shouting, right on, pastor. He didn't come, oh, but he's commenting now on Mixella on YouTube. Including the one that is gisting. Some of them are gisting now. They're in a bus. But they are using one earpiece. The earpiece has only one ear that is working to listen to me. Jesus said, anyone. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Look at your condition, though. Please don't hate the messenger. Look at what our Lord said. That the moment you are hearing, and understanding is taken away from you, that just know that at that same time, an administration of Satan has been ministered to you. That beside your lack of understanding is what? The enemy. And the enemy was called what? The wicked one. That is to describe the ministry that he has brought to you. The moment they look around, who is in the church that is not, that is distracted? Who is here now that is, that we still, you hear what Pastor Gwenga said, you are still going to that boy's house after, where are they? Where are they? They will now administer wickedness to you. He said the wicked one comes, and what does he do? Do you know what it means to snatch? Look at, this is snatching. Just takes it from you. Huh? Are we together? I know there are some people, once they snatch something from you, you can't collect it. Even when you look at their face, you know that this one is ready to fight. You just say, give me my thing. Give me my thing. And when we were young, in those days, they say, give me my thing. I'll tell my papa, I'll tell, say, oh God, don't collect this one. Maybe you have a friend you are owing on campus. He now heard you rejoicing in your room. He now care. He just saw money. It's not, that thing, eh? We used to have a student, a senior student, in those days or in boarding school, when we were in SS3, we are the only ones that will be on campus during the break. So we cook. Eh? Some of you understand what I'm saying. Some of you will not understand because you went to private school. Some of us went to government school, Unity Secondary School. SS3, they will say, all of you, wait. We'll use bucket. Who knows what I'm talking about? You people make me look like I'm lying. Eh? We made our own electric cooker. We make all kind of strange connections. Sometimes, while putting the bucket, iron bucket on, we were electrocuted. Boiling ring. Who use boiling ring here? How many of you knew you could use boiling ring to cook rice before that day? Look, We did marvelous things. Scientists were, God was raising scientists among us. One day we finished cooking. One of our senior, he repeated, his name is Gwenga. I'm not the one, but that's his name. He just came. Ah, in boys. Ah, you know, we will eat it in the pot. There's no time to be sharing anything. So the three of us who bought the rice and mixed pepper and palm oil, we are there with our spoon. There's nothing like, please bring me one spoon. If you, in your spoon, our spoon was always in our back pocket. It is not, you say, you now get to a place of miracle. See the rice. You now say, bro, who is going to answer you here? You should walk. You have to be ready. Boy Scout. The bride just came. If I see, mouth must chop. He just put his hand inside the rice. Did like this. Three times, the rice became cool in his mouth. I learned that technology that day. That when you have hot rice, because you have to eat fast. I was like, you are wasting time. You did wala. Somebody came from outside, wants to finish your food. You better eat fast. The brother, Guze, he said, you just see the smoke coming out. You just swallow it. At some point, Oga, cool down. No, be you buy rice. If we were caught that day, we would go to the principal and report ourselves. You just came with big and his spoon. You know those spoon that you bend the spoon, so you won't tend it. You adjust spoon so that one base like this. Oh my God. Some of you don't know this kind of spoon I'm talking about. You buy this spoon, you now press it. Once you do, even you that cook rice, your eye will be like which kind of okay, go. So, you can't do that here. So Jesus was saying, a man without understanding is likened to somebody who, when he's being fed spiritually, doesn't even understand the value of the food he has been presented with. Because the word of God is food. He doesn't understand. When a man comes to Christ, he is a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. The new has come. If you do not understand this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, even deliverance from family pattern will be hard. Because every time we say, come out in the name of Jesus, we deliver you, you will always have problem because your foundation is weak. Every time we ask God to visit the foundation of people's family, it's because we know Jesus has already done it. We are not doing anything new. We are only enforcing what Jesus has done. But if you don't believe, you think that until you buy your miracle the way that Simon the sorcerer did it, you cannot get anything. Some people are not used to getting anything from God free. Until they sow. And this is part of the problem with my people from the East. They are very wonderful people. But an average Southeasterner is very transactional. They believe in give and take. They don't know how to receive free. So they can come with 1 million. If they know you are an anointed man of God. Man of God, be praying for my family. They are not ready to pray. And I'm saying because I know I've prayed for some of them. So if you are from that area, you have to learn how to receive by faith. You have to learn it. And these are matters of the kingdom. He said, this man, he said, the wicked comes, snatches away. Look at that scripture. What was sown where? Please look at that. What? So when the sower went out to sow, where was he sowing into? That means as you are listening to me, you may either be finding me very funny, or maybe the evil one has already come to snatch away what you are hearing. It's a very serious matter. Nobody should hold the microphone and be careless with it. Because you are just beside you, there's a wicked person waiting to see that you are confused. And when you are confused, you won't even know what was taken from your life. And Jesus said, This is he who received the seed by what? Now, look at that word wayside. It's very significant. What does the wayside remind you of? By the road? Huh? Distraction. Dust. When you are by the road, a car just drives past, dust everywhere. And dust is, in the New Testament, in the scripture, is a picture of carnality. Dust. Distraction. You see people going and coming. Your heart is not where the word of God is being taught. And that's why many years ago, when I was in church, we used to pray before the service started, that God, as people come, let their hearts be here. We used to pray. Because you can be in church and you will be somewhere else buying market, exchanging. And that's why you find that people can even be in church and they are chatting and smiling and laughing on WhatsApp because they have no regard for the word of God. And that's why you go to some of our old churches, they don't read, during the Bible reading, everybody stand up. Because if you have no regard for the word of God, you will be nothing in this kingdom. You will be nothing. You will be like the man by the wayside. Yes, you are amongst us, but spiritually you are on the express, which means anything that goes by will distract you, which means by the time Satan robs you, you will not know. Verse 20. It says, he who received the seed on stony places is the one who hears the word of God and immediately what? He receives it with joy. Hallelujah! Praise God! Oh, I receive it, Pastor. I receive it. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Ah, I receive it. Come on, give me a name by iPhone and say, I receive it. Now, doing that may not be the problem. Because we are supposed to respond to God's word with joy. But consider the ground, the state of the heart, that his heart was or is. When the word of God came, that heart is very stony, which means nothing can grow there. That heart, for a heart to be stony, that means rain, water has not touched that soil. Are you with me now? Water has not touched that soil for a long time. There's a difference between dry and stony. These are the mysteries of the kingdom. See the way Jesus is explaining it. So that at any point in time, even if you feel like, my spiritual life, I'm struggling, things, and you can take Matthew chapter 13 and find out, where on this graph are you? Because where you are will now determine the kind of prayer and the kind of fasting. This guy is a believer. He has come to Christ. The scripture says, he received the word on stony places. On stony places. But when he heard it, he had the motion. He had the movement. He had the church language. He received it with joy. And every time he responded, Pastor, see, this one is getting it. This one is getting it. Meanwhile, the evidence that you have gotten it is in the fruit. Do you know that this is the reason why many people cannot avoid fornication? Because no matter what you say, your heart, Satan has taken it. Satan will not tell you, don't listen to God's word. As long as he deprives you of the reign of heaven. As long as you cannot point to the last time you had sweet fellowship with God. As long as the Bible talks about the dew of heaven that waters the earth. Way back in the early days, when the earth was still young. As long as you cannot point to how you and God, you have traveled and journeyed, you will think it's everybody that is committing sin like you. You will think, because your heart is in a stony place, you will think everybody is committing sin. My brother, you are the only one there. The result will show. It's just a matter of time. The result will show. The moment you find that every time the word of God is being spoken, this is how you spiritually, this is how you just look at me, preach. Let's go home. Let's go. Bro Bimbo preached. Pastor Binga came, preach for 2 hours again. We are now testing the soil. Before we plant some crops, soil scientists, they will take the soil to the lab and check, is this soil compatible with the seed we want to put inside? We have checked you, now you are wanting. If truly you are a child of the word of God, it cannot come out from your mouth. Truly. Except if what was being said was not of God. These are mysteries of the kingdom. These are puzzles that once you understand them and you break them down, you will now know why some people stop coming to church. Because their sin will not allow them to sit down in front and hear the word of righteousness being preached. They will be uncomfortable. Hallelujah. The scripture said, he said he received it with joy, verse 21. He said, but he has no root. Can you see? He has no root. Because how do you expect the root to go deep into a stony ground? Just like you cement a place and you find one grass. You can just uproot it without any resistance. But look at what the word of God is doing. It actually produced result. The brother believed. The brother started responding. But you see, the state of his heart has not been touched. And what that kind of brother needs to do is to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and begin a quick walk of renewal. A quick one. Especially if you notice that, because some people have stayed so long in church and they are used to people not responding to the word of God. Some of you have been in churches where your parents were elders, they were leaders, and they got to the house and they were gossiping about the pastor. You saw it. Alright? Some of you have been in places where they discussed other church members and they insulted them. Say, he's a madman. He's very stupid. Who does he think he is? You were there. You did not know that being around such places makes the heart very stony. When you see how the word of God is being ridiculed and other believers are being ridiculed and you stay there, are you telling me if you see the brother tomorrow, you will not look at him with the eyes of which somebody spoke about him before? A lot of believers are in this category. They are in church, oh. They are in church, oh. They know how to respond in worship. They know how to cry and kneel and roll on the floor, but they have no root, which means Satan really doesn't have to go far to uproot them. Your root. The Bible talks about the tree that is planted by the river. His roots go deep. Haven't you seen trees that they tried to uproot in the forest and the root came out in another city? Far away from where the tree was standing. Which means if they only cut the tree by the stump, from one of the roots, maybe from here, the root is somewhere in Ikeja, another tree can start. The same tree, it will resurrect there. That's why you find that some people, even when as Christians they sin or they make a mistake, you find that what it takes for them to bounce back is easier and quicker than some people who only believe that church is about singing and dancing. I hope you know that it was him Jesus sang. I hope you know. Because some of you are saying, this church, we don't have keyboard. We don't have this. I hope you know it was him. Okay. Because I'm just telling you, because the day I come and I say the next 2 months is only him. I don't want to hear Pem. Share you people know that I ask you now. Share you people know Jesus sang him. I hope you know Jesus did not beat Jasset. Okay. I just said it to, so when I come and say, oh yeah, what a friend we are. No, but I don't want to hear any noise. Just be singing as we are going. Look at verse 21 again, quickly. He said, because this man has no root in himself, he endures for what? He will not disappear suddenly. He will still come to church. He will still join workforce. He will still be speaking Christian language. Hello, brother. Bless you. Bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. For a while. Because tribulation has not come. He has not lost his job. He has not fallen sick. They have not called him that there's a problem. His wife, who he normally depends on, has not lost her job. The Bible talks about tribulation. or persecution. Those things, they arise. They are in the ground. They arise. They just wake up and say, "Sister, we are here." They say, "Brother, we are here." You thought you are so holy until you saw Chike. You now realize that even as a married woman, there are some people that make you wish you are unmarried. They are clean inside and outside. You have not seen some people. Those are the people of which Paul said, "Flee. Don't pray. If you have your shoes, remove it and run like Sabinos. Just run. Don't be a hero. Don't pray. Don't bind." There are some people, the aura around them is so strong. The only way to break away from it is through prayer and avoiding them. Avoid them some for like 2 months till the effect of their perfume wears off from your head. But if you are not, which means when a person, you know, this is the second stage. The first stage was the man by the wayside. This second stage, Jesus told us the problem and also what he expects that person to do. The requirement for the brother with a stony heart, what's the requirement? Go back to that scripture. The problem here is that this man has no root. So what is the solution? We need to find a way to make the roots that is still at the surface go deeper, which means that man must be subjected to high-level spiritual activity, such as Bible reading, Bible meditation, attending Bible study, having study groups where they can discuss the Word of God and ask questions, prayer. He will be living his life like in a pattern. It's not the one that you'll be saying, "I flow as I'm led by the Spirit." You cannot flow as you are led by the Spirit when you are in this kind of condition. Doctor will tell you 2 tablets, 3 times every day for 7 days. That's how you'll be taking it. Because we need to soften the ground. We need to pour water, the water of the Word of God. We need to pour water into that ground. Pour water till it softens. Because this ground is not just hard. It has stones in it. Stones. That's what makes it stony. So Jesus was explaining to his disciples how the thousands of people he was preaching to every day, why they are not listening to him. So Jesus knew. Listen to me. If you say you are coming to church and your image is not being morphed and your character is not being touched until God becomes the motivation for which you will not sin, you have not started. There are many ladies that are not sinning. It's because they don't want anybody to say, "I have seen her." It's not because they don't want to. There are people who are still saying they will not commit fornication because they met a girl some time ago and the girl was HIV positive. We know they know person finish. Make everybody just be careful. You know? So fear is their motivation for righteousness. It will not last. You will only endure for a while. Look at verse 21 one more time. Verse 21. It says, when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, that means for everything you claim to have known or learnt about God's word, God will permit Satan to test it. Yes, sir. Are you with me now? Yes, sir. If you believe God gave you this brother as your husband, then God will ask you to rest, even though you know he is always in the midst of many sisters. If you cannot rest, you have proven to God that you are not persuaded he gave you that man. If you think you can keep a man, you have proven you've not learned that lesson. Because wherever something comes from is what we sustain that thing. So if you got your husband by trusting in the Lord, or God gave you your wife by trusting in him, then you, and after they join you and you deceive yourself, say you are marrying and all this thing, you take your husband back and hand him over to God. Take your wife. "Lord, take care of my wife for me. I've not married before. Take." Then you can travel for 3 months. Go on your business. You know that there's nothing we keep in God's hands that will be missing. Somebody said, "You touch my husband, you die by correction." But she said it by revelation. Because she knows there are many eyes around that man. So she said, you, Apostle Aaron made a statement. And I thought about it, I laughed. He said he was always having battles with witches and wizards. And he said, for so many years. He said, until one day, he stood on the altar and said, I want to announce to you witches, I am not Jesus Christ. I am not nice. Jesus may forgive. He said, this is Arume. Suffer not a witch to live. He said, that was the first. He said, since that day, nobody troubled him. He said, the moment he announced that, it's not nice. So everybody gave. Because they said, it's a Christian. Let's oppress him. The moment he said, anybody that comes against me again, you die by correction. Since that day. Look at that scripture. He said he immediately stumbles. Look at that word immediately. He said because of the word. He said when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately, he what? He doesn't have staying power. He cannot be in the midst of unbelievers in the office and keep his salvation. Anytime there's pressure around, he falls. No resistance. Nothing to say no. At least resist small self before you fall. Resist small fight. These are mysteries of the kingdom. Now, if you do not understand the mysteries of the kingdom, consider yourself a biblical illiterate. Biblical illiterate. You must. These are the words of Jesus. If you don't understand, most Christians don't know the meaning of all these parables. So. And chapter 13 of Matthew is filled with so many of them. And maybe we should just continue to look at that chapter until we can address as many of them as possible. Because it is in this unlocking of the parables that the mysteries of the kingdom will be what? Or will be revealed to us. What that means is that the way of the kingdom, the will of the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom of God will be administered to us. Only if we know the word of the kingdom. We cannot finish, but let me wrap up here. I believe it's John chapter 1. Let me quickly. John chapter 1. Is it verse 18? John chapter 1, verse 18. Very quickly. Let's round up here. Are you blessed this evening? Please, it is the doers of the word that will be blessed too. For those of you who say you are Christians, you are still living in sin. And you say nobody knows. It's nothing to be proud of. Oh. You say you are a Christian, you are living in sin. You see, because nobody knows. It is Satan that will cast you. Not God. So just know, he is called the wicked one. If you know you are battling, run to the church and ask for prayers, ask for help. Don't keep quiet, especially when it has to do with sexual sin. When it has to do with sexual, a lot of people are playing with fire. A lot of young people are playing with fire. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time, except the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, and he has declared it. Why did I read this scripture to us? Jesus is the revealer of the Father. Are you with me? Jesus is the revealer of the Father. And Jesus is telling us in verse 18. Any record you hear or receive from another man, if it doesn't come from me, it's not correct. That's what Jesus is saying. Any doctrine, any teaching, any message, even if the person tells you can marry two wives, because one father of faith has married two wives, if that thing was not revealed in Christ, it is dangerous. So when you, even this message I've preached tonight, go and take it and submit it under the umbrella and radar of the words of Jesus. If they are faulty, throw them away. Please, are you with me? You must become so strict with God's word that nobody can sell a lie to you. Don't listen to quotable quotes. Don't spend your time listening to things that will not edify. For instance, the scripture says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. It's in the Bible. The hands of the diligent. So if you are supposed to be walking and you are praying, I hope you know. I want to say something, but I don't want to offend anybody. Maybe I'll say it on Sunday. I hope you know that the purpose of... Okay. Let me not... Because some... I hope you know that what you get from your work, the place you go to is just for you to eat. But if you want to be rich, you cannot depend on a job. Huh? You must build systems for wealth. How many times did God go back to after Genesis 1 to say, let there be light? He only said it once. How many after Genesis 1 did God ever go back to say, let there be trees? God did it once and put the seed for every other tree in the first one. This is the year of our flourishing. God is going to bless you financially. But please remember, He giveth seed to the sower and bread. So which one are you? If you still think you can use every money that comes into your hands and dash people, that's why God is not blessing you. You are supposed to use that money, lay a foundation for your life, so that out of the proceeds of what is coming out in that business, you can be a blessing to others. You must be in a position of blessing to bless others. You must be in a position of blessing to bless others. You must be in a position of blessing to be able to what? To bless others. This is the word of God. So you can now go back and say, okay, where do I normally spend my money? If your husband is the problem, say, sit down, let's talk. What do you do with your money? If your husband gets angry, you already have a problem. If your husband is hiding his salary from you, you already have a problem. If your wife deletes her alert, there are women that delete their alert from their husbands. You already have a problem. So the word of God is there. It's just that people choose not to follow it. And that's why I read John chapter 1 verse 18. See, it is Jesus that has revealed the Father to us. And what did He do? He revealed to us the way of the kingdom. This is how we live in heaven. That the way to make advancement is through the way of sacrifice. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. But for us to get to the point where we will not perish, somebody made a sacrifice, and it was God who made the sacrifice. Which means that by principle, anything built on sacrifice cannot be eroded easily. Which means if I take the money I was supposed, for instance, the money I was supposed to spend, maybe I needed to buy a shirt or a shoe, and I took that money and I gave my sister, she needs clothes or she needs something, I've made a sacrifice. Huh? That was why Satan could not even touch Job until he got permission from God. Because Job was a man of altars, always offering sacrifice. There are things that you become insulated from, and it takes the approval of heaven for anybody to touch you. Why? Because of the way you have chosen to order your steps. It is Jesus, the Son of God, who has revealed the Father, who has revealed the way of the kingdom. So why not go back and sit down with your Bible, and when you start reading it from tomorrow, read it for yourself. Like, oh, I'm reading for the first time. I want to learn something new. Go and get New King James or Amplified, any version that you can easily understand, and start from there. Don't be like the believers in the days of Jesus that were only doing King James, in quote. They were doing King James. They didn't really understand what Jesus was saying, but Jesus gave them food and they ate. And they came back the next day for another meal. In fact, there was a day Jesus was angry that that you people are only coming to this church because of food. So if Jesus complained, who am I? Why am I angry? Why is Pastor Benga angry? When even Jesus was angry that even all this anointing is food. And if Jesus will not give them food, they will not come. May the Lord have mercy. So when you read the Bible, read it. Ask for the spirit of understanding. God will show you his ways. He will show you his heart. And then as you continue to yield yourself, that stony heart will become soft. Then you will find that you are not beating your wife again. You will find that you are not pushing your wife again. You will find that certain things that used to happen to you naturally begin to fade off. Why? Because of the impact on the word of God on that stony ground. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for the word that we have heard. We receive grace to be able to come into obedience through the spirit of love. That, Lord, you will minister grace upon every stony heart, for those that are here and for those that are listening online. That, Lord, by reason of this message, there will be an outbreak of revival in the lives of everyone. That, Lord, you will bring us to a place of renewal in our spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.